This morning, we'd like to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, let's read again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, this morning, I would like to consider but because of his great love. The conjunction but is a conjunction used to say the opposite of what is in the previous sentence. For example, Hong, the pastor of Megumi Church, is not good looking, but if you look closely, he is even less handsome. But the but must be followed by something that turns the preceding sentence on its head. The Bible is full of inversions of existing content that cannot be helped. The reversal of the but can be said to be the main point that Bible wants to convey to us. Until last week, we were told from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, following Satan and his demons, the rulers with authority over the air, who are creating the course of this world. We have seen that they were children of disobedience, deserving of wrath, living in the lust of their flesh and the desire of their hearts, according to the prince of the air, Satan, who has authority over the course of the world and demons. Today's scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, begins with the word but and speaks of gospel that turns the whole idea of disobedient children and children deserving of wrath on its head. With the word but, God, who is rich in mercy, introduces a special message unique to the Christian faith. What follows but exactly what God has done, which the Bible calls the gospel, the good news. Paul happily and joyfully describes the content of this gospel as something that no creature, including human beings, could have been involved in or even imagined, and therefore could not have come from us, but only by the gift, love and grace of God's total intervention. Paul is happy and speaks of this as his greatest joy. This is expressed in the words, but God, who is rich in mercy, loved us because of his great love for us. Although the gospel is based entirely on God, there is one challenge that has remained the same throughout all ages and in all worlds, the challenge to live in harmony with God's love It is the accusation that it is so far removed from our daily lives that it does not provide concrete answers to our problems. The gospel has nothing to do with our daily lives and the situation the whole world is in. They say they feel as if the gospel of Bible is not direct help or tool when they hope for the world where war will stop. Diseases will be cured, the economy will improve, and there will be no discrimination or distinction. In fact, Israelites in the Old Testament, although they entered the land of their dreams in Canaan, felt as if the word of God and the gospel had no concrete help or immediate benefits in all the problems they encountered as they cultivate fields, build cities, provided education, built up their symbols, established their towns. They felt as if the word of God and the gospel has no concrete help and no immediate benefit, and as a result, they lost their way and perished after indulging in the lust of idolatry. However, what I would like to share with you here today, and through our weekly worship service, is that nothing but the gospel of the Bible can truly bring us to a proper understanding and the solution of current social and world situation and our daily lives. Nothing but understanding, believing, applying the teaching of the Bible will bring us to a true understanding of our situation and breakthrough to the truth of the situation we were in today. The gospel of the Bible addresses the entire spectrum of our human life. Therefore, it is important to know what gospel has to say and how it relates to the place and the situation in which we find ourselves. In layman's terms, it is what we do with and through which we view the world, and what we expect and do not expect, and determine how we live. The fundamental reason why we, as natural-born human beings, are insecure is because we do not have unshakable foundation, yardstick, or scale. Our natural way of life is always driven by the situation unfolding in front of us first. And because we do not have an unchangeable foundation to accurately judge the situation, we are manipulated by ever-changing opinions, views, currents that masquerade as a foundation, and we are driven by anxiety, worry about when we might fall without seeing anything, and a place full of obstacles. They are moving forward as if they do not know whether they are moving forward or retreating, driven by anxiety and fear. The job of removing these worries, anxieties, and fears is the role of politicians and those who run the country and economy, and we have always hoped that if they did their job well, the situation would improve. But has the situation ever improved? Has there ever been kind of peace or foundation that has never changed? Of course, there have been times when things have looked different, changed in shape, and appeared to be better, but the reality is that there has never been change, and there is always anxiety, fear, and anger. I am always anxious, fearful, and angry because I am so focused on the situation, on changing the superficial form of situation, that I am unable to see the essential truth. When we try to judge things only from the situation that is happening in front of us, we cannot see anything essential. Rather, the Bible, when judging something, treats unfolding situation or state of affairs last, and directs our attention first to the foundation, facts, and truth that will never move. In other words, the entire Bible, from beginning to end, stresses the importance of the first and foremost basing our decision on the truth of Jesus Christ, the only true Creator God. He says that we cannot understand things simply and clearly unless we see life, people, and the world in the light of truth of Christ. The Bible is very clear that we cannot understand the logic of a situation unless we first see it in the light of God's truth. The Bible interrupts our view of the world and human beings by keeping things only in human horizontal relationship and viewing the world only in terms of horizontal connections. It says that everything must be from the perspective of the truth of true God. As for the situation in which we are placed, that comes next. First is our relationship with God. We are currently living in an age when some people are threatening World War III, and others are even changing the laws of the country to make it war-ready nation. In order to understand the true nature of the problems of all humankind and all kind of being we are, we need to understand what kind of being we are. Humanity has always prided itself that with the establishment of the United Nations, there would be no major wars that would shake the world. And even if there were, we could stop them. But what do you think? We are not taught much about the fact that wars have never been eliminated from the world, and that rise and fall of the military industry has great impact on the economies of many developed countries, including Japan. And even if we knew about it, we could not do anything about it because there are so many areas that benefit from it. Even if we say that we do not deal in weapons, we are forced to risk our lives in order to win the economic wars, and we are forced to live in a world of production, logistics, and competition of market share. It is because of this strain. More than five times the number of people who die in conflicts around the world take their own lives in the country we live in, Japan, which calls itself peaceful. Our society, in terms of not being able to do without fighting, is essentially no different from that of David, Paul, Nobunaga, Oda, or date of Empire of Japan. After all, we cannot live in this world without fighting for territory and ownership in any form, even if the form is different. I don't know about you, but even in the virtual world on the computer network called Metaverse, land and building imitating the street of Shibuya are all already being bought and sold for the territorial disputes and real estate acquisition. In the future virtual world, even in the virtual world, which is not the real world. In my message up to last week, I have been confirming the reason why people go to such length to fight, struggle, take, be taken, occupy, and possesses. As Paul bluntly states in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, we ourselves must be aware of what we are essentially like, what the world is the world, true nature of human beings, and the world in the light of the truth of God. We cannot understand the necessity of salvation or grace unless we face painful but real nature of the world and what it reality is. Paul teaches us that we cannot solve the problems of humanity unless we know the substance and existence of man in light of the truth of Jesus Christ. Without it, trying to solve the problems of mankind will ultimately be nothing more than essentially sterile battle. Whenever something happens, we try to start with international conferences and a wide variety of words about the problem at hand. But unless we ask deeper questions about human nature, true nature, we will not be able to see the essence of the problem. If we humans were good beings who could do with little more education, knowledge, and information, then it would be relatively easy to cure the problem. But if human nature, as Paul points out, is the truth, then any prescription, method, or approach is burned out and far from being radical solution. It is just a waste of time. As we have seen, born again men dead in sin and not in God's grace. It's spiritually dead, not in relationship with God, and has been moved, controlled, regulated in thoughts and deeds under the strong direction of Satan. This is the position of born again man in light of God's truth. In fact, because of what we inherited from Adam, our very nature itself, began to be contaminated by sin and eventually came to the point of receiving God's wrath. This is why we are in the situation we are in today, the state of affairs and our society. This is the reason for the world's never-ending wars, so much so that we cannot suppress our sinful instincts and think that we really love to fight. Let's read James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. What causes fight and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. It is because we have become enemies of God, and because of desire that come from within our warm bodies, the root cause of our problems is fighting desire in our bodies. It is not the problem of the person, that school, that company, the government, that nation. It is the problem of each of us. It is caused by desire of each of us, the member of every organizational group family, to fight. The war between nations is an extension of breaking promises, speaking ill of other being their backs, envy and resentment. When we are confronted with wars between nations, we often try to talk about ourselves as good guys, but nation is not something abstract and elusive. Nothing would be more baseless, evasive and lying than to look to the state for the good that we cannot find within ourselves, seeking the good in others that we do not find in ourselves is principle that runs from bottom to the top, from the individual to the nation. The Bible speaks straightforwardly of essentially unchanging state of the world from ancient times to the present, a world whose destruction is no different from the time of Noah's flood or times of Sodom and Gomorrah. Luke chapter 17 verse 26 through verse 13. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. And so what should we do? What do you think? What should we do? There is nothing we can do. Unfortunately, the gospel that will solve these things is not coming from us. There was a painter, Kiyoshi Yamashita, who is famous for the Naked General. Hadaka no Taisho. I don't know much about painting himself, but I like Kiyoshi Yamashita's paintings because they give me a sense of warmth and tenderness. Of course, I do not want any of his real paintings. I saw an article in the newspaper last week that Kiyoshi Yamashita, who experienced the war, said the following before his death. If everyone had only made beautiful fireworks instead of bombs, surely there would have been no war, he said. I thought that was an amazing statement that hit home. Unfortunately, when people acquire the wealth and the power to make bombs at will, it is natural for them to make bombs instead of fireworks. Even if we want to make things right, the desire to fight gets in the way and we cannot change the nature of things. That is why Solomon says, look at this, there is nothing new under the sun. When I say this is new, we often say we must change the present based on the lessons of the past. But no matter how we try to take responsibility for the past, we are still dying and living in sin. And unless such a sinful human condition is fundamentally changed, future history will certainly not change either. We cannot change. We born again humans always live with confident optimism, confident that we can make things right in our own time. But in exactly the same way, past generations were saying that we can correct the bad things that happened in past times, than that make things better. We have ended up making things worse. Still, we don't admit it. We feel superior to living in the present than in the past. We are better educated than in the past. We are more cultured than in the past. We know things that people in the past had no way of knowing. We are naturally more advanced in many ways than in the past. We can and will be successful. But how can we honestly think that we can and will be successful? But honestly, what do you think? In the past, living in the penthouse of high-rise building in a concrete jungle was considered luxurious. But today, sleeping in a tent made flimsy fabric on the ground in a dense forest, smelling the earth, is considered luxurious. What is progress and what is success? If you believe that biblical doctrine that man is helpless, dead in sin, then saying success, progress, or cultural is deception. If mankind, driven by the desire to fight, remains as it is, there will be no end to war, not only wars of force, but also hypocritical wars in various forms. The Bible tells us that no matter how small a battle we see, we should look at ourselves in it, not at the fire on the other side of the river. We are now divided into various countries and languages, and tribes, ethnic groups, cultures, customs. We belong to certain nations that have certain authority in the world, and we have thought countless times that it would be better if we were all united as one. But do you know why there are so many different nations? All of this is blessing from God as a general favor. Although the division and sects are caused by man's desire to fight, God used even the result of sin as a grace with a limited period of time. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. This verse is not about refusing to worship the emperor or to be forced to visit shrines. Be firm and refuse. What Paul is trying to say here is that God divided the nation, set up a president, prime ministers, and emperors, not to give them authority, but to control human beings who are mass of fighting desire, to make them tense with each other, and because of moderate tension, to keep peace on this earth for as long as possible. The authority was dispersed in order to keep the peace on earth for as long as possible because of the moderate tension. The sad result of man's desire to fight is God has turned it into a benefit with a time limit. If human beings who are the mass of fighting desire inherited from Adam had no sense of tension toward the eyes of others and the rules of other nations, the world would have turned into a hellish place and would have perished long ago. Then why does God go to such length to preserve this world that is bound to perish sooner or later? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This world is being preserved because of God's love that all people should repent, be given the Holy Spirit, be born again by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not perish with this world that is sinking. This world does not exist for the fulfillment of our desire, but for the fulfillment of God's love for all people, so that many people as possible many realize God's love and Christ's love, realize it and be saved. The short-sighted perspective of us sinners is totally different from timeless and eternal perspective of loving God. Whenever I talk about this kind of thing, there is always backlash. Why do you keep talking about such pessimistic things like world will be destroyed? But I am not talking about Bible, Paul, Peter, or Jesus saying pessimistic things. I am talking about reality. The Christian faith is not pessimistic at all. It is blissfully hopeful and can rejoice at any moment. And as God's creature, we can truly live. It is obvious in the face of Christians. I know this is not what I was talking about earlier, but I heard the word. Pastor Holm is not a good-looking man, but if you look closely, you will see in the future day of glory, his body will be changed into new body in glory. He will no longer suffer from sickness, old age, backache, shoulder pain. He will become glorious figure like resurrected Jesus Christ, and he will walk proudly as child of God on the new heaven and new earth and new eventually this. He became good looking man knowing that the wickedness sin will be consumed by the fire that comes down from heaven. Isn't that true for all of you? There is nothing more realistic than Christian faith. It is Christian and Christian faith. And look at reality, the face reality, faces reality that admits that there is no hope in this world and knows that where it is admitted there is hope and meaning of salvation is brought into relief. One must believe in Jesus Christ and be born again. There is no other salvation available to us, no other hope eternal and uncrowded hope than to believe in Jesus Christ and be born again. This is because this world is world full of our sins, which are perfectly justified under the wrath of God. That is why the Gospel of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, is good news. The gospel is mercy and love of God, who has done things on a completely different level from the evil and the sin we have been talking about. The gospel is that we can be saved and brought into the kingdom of God because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son and our Savior, who can deliver us from the judgment that is surely coming. Because of what he has done in the world, which is full of sin and condemned by sin, that is the message of gospel. We can become citizens of nation that is not the world, and we can enter the nation. We are citizens of kingdom of Christ, kingdom of light without darkness. This is the nation does not belong to the world. It is a country that those who believe in God. This is the most inspiring news one can hear. For Christians who live in the gospel, and are born again through Jesus Christ, the chaos of the world is dusty mess that is no longer worth fearing or hoping for, and can be looked at with calm and cool eyes. There is no need to rejoice more than necessary, no need to grieve more than necessary. We no longer place our hope in the spirit of the world, its way of thinking. Instead, we believe in the gospel. Of course, being Christian does not mean that you will never be in a car accident, never get sick, never experience war, avoid bombs, or be successful, but does not make you inherit. Does not make you inherently unaffected. Everywhere, so what? And so what? Not unnecessarily trembling from the depth of our souls. Instead, we know how to love. I am inspired to practice love without conditions. If we have a wealth and power to make bombs at will, we would make fireworks to entertain, to make people happy, to make people smile, and to lead them to the love of Christ. That is what we want to do, have become Christians. Are you still afraid and surprised? Do not be afraid. Do not be surprised. It is only natural that things are happening. I want to thank God for the grace to see straight and speak straight about how the world today is dying world, no different from the time of Noah's flood or time of Sodom and Gomorrah. And most of all, I want to thank God and I'm included in the bad love. Let's believe in Jesus. Let's believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, today we are. What should I do in your hand? Let us pray like that. And not to live satisfy me. Let us live satisfy others. As your follower, let us live for you and others. Please guide us. Please let us live. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.